Welcome to the Danny Palmer Show. Does it sound cool if I say it like that? Yeah. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Danny Palmer Show. I'm your host, Danny Palmer, the vainly titled Danny Palmer Show. People already know this if you clicked on it, I assume. But I'm here with my fucking good friend, repeat guest. Actually, you're the only repeat guest. I mean, it's a pretty new podcast, but dude.
Really?
Repeat guest, hilarious New York comedian, Tom McCaffrey. What's up, Tom?
Not much. Pretty stringent booking policy here.
I do, dude. I don't want to book any non-funny people.
I think I'm basically like the co-host of this now.
I know. Do you want to be the co-host of the Danny Palmer Show? You literally get no credit. You just have to do a lot of work for me.
Okay. Isn't that... Yeah, I guess this is how Andy Richter got his job. Or what's his face? Ed McMahon?
Right. But just the problem is that you're funnier than me, so you should be the fucking lead.
I know. I am a ringer. How's it going?
Good, man. You?
Pretty good.
So we're just like, it's a week before Thanksgiving. We're just fucking hanging out. We went to like this ping pong mixer at a speakeasy. Yeah. No, it's like an illegal establishment.
Ping pong mixer. Is that what that was? Did someone set that up?
Yeah. Right, Daddy Ryan DiCarlo set up a ping pong mixer at Sour Mouse.
No one really
spot.
Showed up though.
It's gonna close. I mean, everything's gonna close in New York City in like one day. This is our last hurrah.
So that was like an organized thing?
Yeah.
Just me, you, and him.
Just the three of
us.
That's
how bad things have gotten here. You have to like set up an event for three people to get together.
Yeah, that's just not even an event. That's just three people getting together.
So you said you want to talk about Thanksgiving.
Yeah, but wait, can we do small bummers first, dude?
Yeah, sure.
See, because Tom's a repeat guest, we can do whatever the fuck we want. Like the world is our fucking oyster here. On this.
Have you had a lot of guests?
Lightly attended podcast. What?
Have you had a lot of guests on?
I've had like six guests, I think.
Oh, okay, cool.
I had Monroe Martin on.
Oh, cool. He's cool.
Yeah, I love Monroe. I had Jerron Salim, Olga Namer.
Oh, yeah, he's cool. Oh, wow, you had some good guests.
Yeah, thank you. You.
Me again.
Who was off? Maddie Smith.
Oh, wow, you did get good people.
Yeah, I do what I can, man. It's fun. I love podcasting, dude.
Do you?
Yeah. Do you like it?
Yeah, I do like it.
Yeah. What's up with your podcast, The Last House in Brooklyn or something?
Yeah, that's it. The Last House in Brooklyn.
It's last right on exit the border to Brooklyn. Of Nassau County. What?
Last exit to Brooklyn.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I still do it. We're on a network.
It's a way better podcast, and you're just
no
stooping to my level.
No,
I'm
we
being serious.
We
you are
no we're not like I don't know like we like every you know does there's a stand up category on you know like the charts the podcast iTunes Apple charts
yeah.
Under comedy, there's like a stand-up section, and we usually chart there.
That's fucking awesome.
Yeah, and then we like in. I got an email the other day that like in Slovenia we were like number 7.
What, dude? That's fucking badass.
Yeah. So
your podcast is way better. That's fucking dope. Wait, there's a. I don't. Understand
I'm out of here. What?
I don't understand how there's.
I gotta go do my podcast.
Yeah, I'll do my way more successful. Can I advertise in your podcast? Yeah. I'm serious. I think I might try to advertise on other people's podcasts.
That's a good idea.
I think it might be my best route to success.
Oh, really? So, yeah, Last Exit to Brooklyn. Check it out. We're on a network, but I don't know if we're going to stay on it.
What network is it?
Netflix.
Yeah, it's Netflix is doing podcasts now.
We're like Notflix because we're not on it. Yeah, Historic Media Podcast Network.
Nice.
Yeah.
That'd be cool if Netflix did podcasts at some point.
I mean, they're not. Are they not yet?
I don't think. I mean,
feel like they're like the biggest thing in the world now.
I'm sure there are podcasts that have turned into TV shows that are on Netflix, right?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I kind of get annoyed. Netflix, I don't really watch Netflix because I feel like they don't have anything I want to watch on there.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then I just go on and it looks literally like every comedian has a show on there except me and you. So, but you know, like I feel like Netflix is just like, oh, it's just you get annoyed at how much. I also get overwhelmed by the content, not just comedy, but like there's so much content on there. You
yeah,
know? It's overwhelming. There's too much shit now. Do you agree with that?
I do. But you know what helps me is I use like Collider and Vulture and New York Times. They'll have like lists of top 50 documentaries, top 50 dramas, yeah. top. And so I'll use that to like. We did
there's
the
just
shit.
So many things. It's like,
yeah,
I don't know. When I was growing up, I probably you too. Like there was just like three things at a time. that were popular.
ABC, NBC, CBS.
Yeah, or like, you know, like actors or singers that were like not that many, you know. Now it's just like I turn on, you know, my stream at like Roku and there's just so much shit. I'm like, I it's like I spend all my time not watching things but fucking looking for things.
Right. It's weird that like there's Instagram celebrities with like millions and millions of followers and like some people have never heard of them. Like that wouldn't have happened 20 years
ago. But that's what I'm there's people who are I once had a joke about this that there's so many TV shows. There's like that you can be on a TV show for like 8 years now. Like there's a show will be on for 8 years. And I like Suits. Remember that show?
Yeah. I think Zach was in an ad for Suits.
Yeah. And
what was Suits? The premise? They were lawyers.
Yeah. I mean, sorry. I couldn't tell. I've never spoken to one person that said they watched Suits. Never once in my life. Have I talked to one person who said, I like Suits? That show was on for 9 years. I couldn't tell you one person in that show.
No idea.
And I'm like into shit like that. Like I know obscure pop culture things. Like that's so weird to me. You could be on a show for 9 years and no one knows who you are. It's like, that's crazy. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's like a success without wide... Spread success, right? I guess it doesn't matter at that point if you have enough money, but like...
I guess it's success, but also like...
You're not like Tom Cruise.
Kind of success.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. That always like weirded me out. So what I end up doing now is like, there's so much shit, I'll just end up watching things from the 80s that I'm like comfortable, like, or I'm comfortable with watching. Like, you know what I watch on Amazon Prime now? Is remember that show Highway to Heaven with Michael Landon?
Yeah, my like, mom loved that show.
I'm watching like reruns of Highway to Heaven.
Oh no,
with
dude.
All the content that's out there.
Yeah, you're going back. You're going old school. Is that like comfort food for you?
Yeah, you know, I kind of liked that. I like watching it now because it's so old now and like everything's so different. I'm kind of interested to see what it's like to watch it now.
Oh, it's like a historical artifact for you.
Just seeing how it holds up. And like, it's not very good. Like,
yeah.
It's amazing to watch how they have to like, they only have like 43 minutes and they have to like hit all these like, you know, marks at certain points in the plot. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
what's the premise again? It's Michael Landon is an angel that comes down from heaven,
Michael
right?
Michael Landon is a transvestite prostitute.
I don't think that's the plot. Yeah. That's Dallas Buyers Club.
He's like a probationary angel. Like I think he's like he died, but he to become an angel, he has to come down and like help people.
Okay.
For 5 seasons.
Is that how long it was on?
Well, it's just funny.
That's a funny joke right there.
They don't give a time limit. And then I guess if he's helped enough people, he can become an angel. And he like, I mean this, and it's very basic, like the beginning of the show, the credits are him just walking down the street. And then like Victor French is like his sidekick on the show. He's like an ex-cop. And he like in the credits just kind of like stops to pick Michael Landon up who's hitchhiking. And he just kind of gets in the car and like, that's kind of like, oh, I guess that's how they became friends. Just... He just got into the car. He doesn't even say anything when he gets in the car. And then it's just
now I have an angel hitchhiker friend.
And I guess he explains it to him. Like I haven't seen that part though. Like, hey, I'm an angel. Will you help me? He's like, all right.
And then, people believe. Sorry. And then what?
Then it's just they go around helping people. But it's like I saw one the other day, and it was like. Things happen so fast. Like this little girl's a shit, like a movie star. She's like 10 and she's really shitty to everyone because she's a movie star and everyone hates her, like everyone in the crew and like the directors. And then they have a maid who has another who's a daughter who's nice. And like Jonathan, who's the angel guy, Michael Landon, like he's like, hey, why don't we go by the studio? And she goes to the studio, and the producers are like, like, who's that girl? She looks like she'd be good in the movie. And then they put her in the movie like immediately.
Oh fuck! Everybody hates her.
What?
But they hate her, right?
No. This is another girl.
Oh, sorry.
There's a girl who's a movie star, and
that's not the 10-year-old that people hate.
Yeah, they do hate her.
Oh, sorry.
But then there's another girl, the maid of for the movie star's
family. Oh,
that
girl. I'm sorry.
Has a daughter who's always around.
Okay, okay.
And she goes to the studio randomly, and these like producers see her, and they're like, "Hey, she looks like she'd be good at acting." I, you know, from just on based on nothing. Just like that's what's supposed to happen in the plot right now. And then
right.
Then they cut to like her being in the movie and they're like, she's so good. Like we should make the movie about her now and get rid of the other girl. And then they fire the bitchy 10-year-old girl. And then the other girl who's the maid's daughter just is like a star now. Like immediately.
Off of one movie?
No, from shooting.
Just from the shoot?
She's literally shooting. She shot one scene. Like, she's going to be the biggest star in the world.
So they're kind of lazy with the
Well, I think they didn't have enough time. You look back at those shows, and it's like, they just didn't have enough time. It was like, they had to, like, okay, now everyone loves her, you know? And it's, like, weird watching, because you realize now everything's so... Because now with TV shows, it's like, they have, like... So many episodes of the same plot, you know what I mean, with TV shows.
Yeah,
like it shows you those shows are over, where it was like, you know, this is the story for this episode, and then the next episode there's a whole other story. Like that's kind of over, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it shows like how they were limited back then, because if you had like a standalone episode show, like you couldn't really do, you know what I mean? Like I guess that was the problem with it.
Okay.
But it's interesting to watch because you see how much TV's changed. And you're like, fuck, we were given like shit.
Yeah. It's insightful that you picked all that up just from the way that they structure the plot. That's pretty smart.
Well, I'm really into stuff like that. So, like, let's put it this way. It's no Game of Thrones.
I've only seen like the pilot.
Of Highway to Heaven?
Of Game of Thrones.
Oh, I watched the whole thing during the pandemic.
Is it great? Is it truly great?
Yeah, it's good. It's really good.
It's really isn't the plot really complex and Byzantine? Like I don't think I'm gonna be
funny.
Able to follow that.
Anyway. You know what? I watch it with subtitles. I think you have to watch it with subtitles. It's very confusing.
Oh, like, does subtitles, they not enunciate?
They don't enunciate. Fuck. I watch everything with subtitles now because
really?
Because probably because I'm old. No, but I think it makes TV watching easier because you're paying attention. What you need with Game of Thrones, I would argue, you can't watch it and understand it without. There is no way I would have understood it without subtitles because they have these weird. Everything's confusing. They all talk like you can't hear them, and like they call characters by like three different names. You know, like they do that on things where
three separate names.
Yeah, like
that's
they'll
annoying.
Call them like you know. Joe, and that's not what they call him, but like Joe, and then you know, I don't know, Hamie, I guess.
Why do they do that?
I don't know, like because there's three different ways to call them something. I don't know, just to make you not understand what's going on. But if I didn't see the subtitles, I wouldn't be able to figure that out, you know what I mean?
Right,
I can't explain it. Like, they'll call them by their last.
Confusing and complex.
They'll call them by their last name. They'll call them by their title. They'll call them by their first name. You know what I mean?
Okay, okay.
Like the king. Oh, here comes Stark. Oh, Rob, how are you? You know, and you're like, wait, who? Like I was two seasons in and I was like, oh, that's that guy? And I was like, they're just calling him another name?
Have you read 100 Years of Solitude? By Gabriel Garcia, I forget his name.
No,
you know what I'm talking about. It won, like, no. I think it won the Pulitzer, and he's like the most famous author in the magical realism category. I think he kind of invented it. So I haven't read the book. I started to read the book, and I lost it on a trip. But in the very beginning, there's a family tree that's broken down like an org chart, like you would see in a business slide, and all of the names are. Of the main characters are on that slide, so I'm like, oh, that's not good. If this before
oh,
I even
like
start,
it's so confusing.
Yeah, and then to double down on the confusion, a lot of the names are exactly the same except for like a title, like Mr. Gabriel Marquez, Mr. Gabriel Marquez Jose,
right?
Like Junior, Third, and then so it's like this Byzantine world. I never said Byzantine twice, but. It sounds like that. And I got like 30 pages in and I'm like, this is going to be a fucking chore to
Like Game of Thrones, it's like It's like a hard show. It's, you know, there's shows that like they're not easy to watch. Like, yeah. Highway to Heaven is like an easy show to watch.
Yeah, you don't have to keep track of the obscure names.
Yeah, you're like, oh yeah, there's two. Yeah, they're gonna fall in love,
right?
In like 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Like, I saw another one. It was a two-parter.
Let me guess. They both respected God very much.
It's also very like hokey. You know, like God, not religious, but like. God is just like very blatantly doing good things.
Yeah,
you know?
Isn't it? It's like a
someone
Christian
shitty
show,
in
right?
the show, and then like the wind will like blow them off into the water. You know,
God like takes action against the bad actors. I mean, the
well,
bad
like
characters.
Someone says something against God, like, oh, you jerk, you know, and then like lightning will like, and I'm like.
You wish God
was just
a
very basic, like, makes God just look like this guy who's just kind of like a jerk, sort of. Yeah. Or not a jerk, but kind of. And it's kind of mean to Michael Landon's character every now and then. Oh, I have to go see him. He
what,
got
God
mad
says
at
that?
Me. Well, no, he doesn't talk to
oh,
him.
Oh, Michael Landon's.
Michael head. Landon's like, oh, I got to go see him. He's like, what? Oh, he got mad that I beat it. Like, there's a part where these guys bully some kid, they steal his food. And then, like, Michael Landon has powers because he's, like, an angel.
Oh, that's right.
So he just can beat these guys up, and then he has to, like, go to see God.
Oh, because he took advantage of his powers?
Yeah, so God is, like, it's like he's in trouble. I think it was just an excuse to get him out of that episode.
I love you watching Highway to Heaven and then just hearing your thoughts on it. What's another episode that you thought was, like, ridiculous?
So I was watching one yesterday.
And my mom loved that show, by the way. I'm going to tell her you said
that.
You
know, it's, I got into it in college. Like, they started playing reruns of it. And I, you know why I like it? It's a very, like, I know it's hokey, and but it's a very, like, not cynical show. I think that's why I'm watching it
that's
now.
Because
I watch the news, and it's just everything is awful.
Yeah.
And so I turn that on, and it's very, like, oh, this is how life should be. Like, if someone is a bully, you know, an angel should just show up and beat the shit out of them. You know what I mean?
Right.
There's one where this guy, like, has a scar in his face and he stays in his house. And in the town, all the kids think he's a monster. They call him Frankenstein. You know, like, do you remember the kid from Christmas Story, Peter Billingsley?
Yeah, I have a story about that to tell you, actually. Yeah.
Do you?
Yeah.
I have one, too. We should share Peter Billingsley's stories.
Let's go back and forth. I already told
him
last
week's
pod,
but
whatever.
Let's hear it.
Well, okay, I just told it last week, but almost, so I'll make it short. But
I don't
want to
be
not that I really
mine's
to
probably
it.
Gonna be better. I'm sorry to tell you.
I don't know, dude. So Peter Billingsley was a big fan. Did you watch the Challenger documentary?
No.
So he was the president of like the Future Astronauts Club or something like that.
Yeah.
And he went to the Challenger launch. There's footage.
He did?
Yeah. He went to the launch. He was supposed to be a kid that went up in space at some point. He was the president of that club. He went to the launch, watched the launch, and you can see Peter Billingsley react in horror to the Challenger
There's
explosion.
There's footage of that?
Yeah, because
wow.
he was there. You
Does he start crying?
Yeah, he just looked shocked. He's in the documentary. He talks for like 30 minutes in the documentary. Ralphie.
What the fuck
was
that
at the Challenger
like?
Launch? Crazy, right?
Do you want to hear my story now?
Yeah. Yeah, mine is depressing. I hope yours is better.
No, mine's a little worse.
Peter Billingsley was
He tried to commit suicide in front of me once at Thanksgiving.
That's not a good day for it.
That was depressing.
Yeah.
It was the day of the challenge. It was the day after the Challenger blew up.
Oh, yeah? They moved Thanksgiving to January?
No, I hung out with him once.
You did?
Yeah. Like, I knew this guy who, like, was friends with him, and my friend was, you know, him and Vince Vaughn are like best friends or something. Peter Billingsley,
really?
And Vince Vaughn.
Okay.
Yeah. And so I hung out with my friend, and Peter Billingsley and Vince Vaughn were there, and I just like hung out, and I went bowling with them.
No shit.
Yeah, isn't that crazy?
You bowled with him and Vince Vaughn?
Yeah,
that's awesome.
I know.
Was Vince Vaughn cracking everybody up? He's funny, man.
He wasn't really like cracking people up, but he was like really cool.
Yeah, I can see. Yeah.
And he was like really, I mean, I don't want to say into me, but he was like, it was just weird because I was a really big fan of his at the time. I mean, like at the time I was a big fan.
Yeah.
It was right. It was like 2000. It was like Swingers. I love Swingers. And so it was weird because it was kind of like I was hanging out with the guy from Swingers, and he kind of was like the swingers guy, you know?
That's
and
awesome.
He, like,
yeah.
knew me. Like, he was saying my name. We went bowling. He'd be like, Tom, great job, man. Great job. And I was like, yeah, all right. And Peter Billingsley.
You blew him off
there.
When he complimented you?
No. I was like, yeah.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah.
But yeah, so I hung out with that guy one night. He was very nice, I remember. He was like, hi, Tom. Like, you know, it was weird to have Ralphie. Like, so anyway, the long thing. So that Peter Billingsley was in this episode of Highway to Heaven as it was during that time. It was like right around Christmas Story. And it's like he's a shitty kid and there's like some ugly guy. Some guy who has like a scar in his face who lives in a house. He doesn't come out and Peter Billingsley's like, that guy's a monster.
Did he have the glasses on too?
Peter Billingsley? Yeah, totally. Yeah. And he looks exactly like Christmas Story. Like he probably filmed it right after. And there's this blind woman that Michael Landon and his friend go to like work for, you know, and she's really mean because she just lost her sight like 2 years earlier. And she's like, oh, I used to go to this river. She grew up there. I used to go to this river as a kid. And then she goes to the river and the monster guy goes there too. And he's not, he just is kind of ugly. Has like a scar. Like he would be really good looking without the scar, you know, like okay. He almost looks like a model. And he runs into her there. Oh, she falls and he's there. And she's like, can you help me? And you're like, oh, all right. And then he like helps her and he takes her to his house. And she's like, oh, you're really nice. They hang out literally for like 20 minutes. And then she's like, you should come to dinner tomorrow. And he's like,
the monster
right.
kid.
The monster guy.
Yeah.
And the whole thing is she can't see him because, you know. So, and she's like, yeah, when I first saw you, I thought that you were the monster guy from that I grew up hearing tales about named Julian. And he is the guy. And she's like, what's your name? He's like, Clark, because his name is really Julian. So I'll try to figure this as fast. So then what happens is Peter Billingsley, he goes to eat dinner at her house. And Peter Billingsley like sees him and he's like, oh, that monster guy's like sneaking around her house. And then they have dinner. And this is another thing. So she just found out like that day that she's going to get an operation to get her sight back. So when he comes over, she's like, hey, great news. I'm going to get my sight back like next week. And he's like, oh, no. And he goes crazy because he's like the monster guy. And he goes, I'm not really so-and-so. I'm the monster guy. I said I wasn't.
Jesus.
And then he like runs out. And then she's like, oh, wait, why are you leaving? And then she runs out and like falls and hits her head in a rock. And then he sees her and's like helping her. And the police immediately show up and they're like, oh, you clear. And then
he hurt
like,
her.
What?
Yeah, like he hurt her.
Yeah, and it's literally like.
You monster.
They walk up on him holding her and they literally grab him. They go, you're charged with attempted murder.
Oh my God.
But I mean, you wouldn't do that like at the scene of the crime. You have no idea what's going on.
Yeah, that's insane.
That's what I mean. They had no time. It was like, hey, there he is. Yeah, you're charged with attempted murder. And then they have a trial. And oh, and she's in a coma now, so she can't say.
This lady's life, man.
So then they have a trial, and everyone's like, oh, he says he's so ugly. You know, we're going to convict. You know, they're like, I can't really. Like, it's not fair. He's so ugly. Everyone's going to convict him.
Is Peter Billingsley still involved at this point?
Yeah, he like testifies at the trial. He's like, yeah, he tried to grab me. I saw. No, that's the thing.
Oh, he's
like,
bad.
That night, he goes, I saw him going into her house and like sneaking around. And then, yeah, he's a dick. He's an asshole.
Yeah, dude.
And so what happens is the lawyer gives like a really good summation and then he gets acquitted, I guess. And then he just got acquitted and they're like, good news. She woke up from the coma. Right when the trial ends, she woke up from the coma and she has her sight back. She wants to see you. And he's like, no, because he's ugly, you know?
Right.
And then
this is a lot to cram into 43 minutes.
But this is what I mean. It's like it all happens like and then she goes over and she's like, I don't care what you look like. I love you. And literally they've literally spent like 30 minutes together the entire time. Like they met in the woods at the river and hung out for like 20 minutes and then he went to dinner for like 10 minutes. But then at the end they're like, we love each other, and then that's he goes outside and that's the end.
He was a kid, right? Or was he an adult? The monster.
No, he's a man.
Okay. Oh,
he's like
so
a
they
grown man.
Oh, sorry. I thought
guy.
He was a kid for some reason. Sorry. Okay.
Yeah. So
they love each other from that. Just from
but
that.
It's like a lot of that. Like I, and it's also like I start to see like I didn't get a very realistic idea of like life. You know, I'd watch TV young and be like, oh, you can meet someone and in 10 minutes. You're like, are in love with them for the rest of your life.
Yeah. That's how I thought you were it was supposed to work out.
Right. I think that's why people like, remember when people are always
I definitely got misled about that. I'm like, oh, man.
So do I.
When I turn 18, I'm going to meet this blonde girl. We're going to ride off in a convertible. It's going to be sick.
Yeah. Oh, I'm going to meet someone. It's going to be love at first sight. I think that's why like marriages don't work out, because I think they think like, oh, I met them and it's perfect.
Yeah, that was definitely like an image that Hollywood kind of tried to like promulgate.
No way this won't work out. I'm 21 and I've known them for a week. I've known them for 3 months. I'm ready to live the rest of my life with them. You know what I mean? Like, I think people, then they get married and they're like, oh, wait, they're around all the time?
Yeah, because when you get married when you're 21, I mean, I'm not going to like say people's names, but I have friends in college that got married and they were 21 and then like, you know, 5-6 years later, now I'm like friends with both sides. They have different families and stuff. Like, obviously that happens all around the world, but like,
like I'm old now and I feel like I'm not ready to settle down.
I know.
Like literally, like, hey, slow down. You know what I mean? I'm like old.
Do you want to have kids, dude?
I think I'd like to have a kid.
What if it's a monster?
You mean like the guy in the show?
Yeah, I'm just kidding.
I feel like that's why people have kids. I think it's almost like playing the lottery for them. Like they're like, maybe I'll have a kid and they'll just be really smart and successful and do things that I used to have a joke about that. Like when I was a kid, like if I got bad grades, my parents would like get mad at me, you know? Like,
yeah.
Like they were mad I was dumb, you know? Like, hey, what'd you? And I'm like, well, I don't like, you guys aren't smart. Like what? Like, you guys are. I came from you guys. I'm supposed to magically be smart coming from not smart people. But do you know what I mean?
Yeah. How like, would you be able to do that?
But I think it's like you have a kid and they're like, no, you're supposed to just be like smart.
Right. I'm smart like, and you came from me. So then you're smart too, right? Oh, no?
No, but I was like, but you guys aren't that smart. And I came from you guys. I'm what you are, like another thing. So you're mad that I'm not magically just smarter than you?
Yeah, you're like, I'm an incarnation of you. Or
I'm not
what
saying they weren't smart, but it's kind of like...
Sounds like you just called your parents dumb on my podcast.
I know, I'm sorry. No, but they weren't dumb at all. I think my mom was really smart.
Yeah.
I think it's that's what parents do, though. I think that happens a lot, though. They're like, hey, you, why didn't you do well? And you're like, well, I mean, I came from you.
Yeah.
Let's see your report cards. Let's see how good those were.
Yeah, like what you guys did is the peak of the like roller coaster... height, right?
Like, well, it's kind of like I almost feel like that should be a thing. Well, it's like if you're yelling at your kids, you should be like, well, look, can I see your report cards and see how much better you were doing than me?
Yeah.
Like if you got all A's, all right. But if you're getting the same shit I am.
Yeah, you can't jump down my throat. Yeah.
You got what?
When I was a kid, I was in elementary school and my dad was a teacher there, and I was arrogant and I thought that I could do like really great on some test or something. Cause my dad was teaching like algebra one and I was like, I could do algebra one. And they thought they would like teach me a lesson about being arrogant. So like, oh yeah, you think you can do this? I was like, I can easily do this. And then they're like, all right, well here, take the test. And I was like, glad to. And then I took the test and then my dad graded it. And then I was like, what are the results? And he was like, we're not going to tell you. And I was like, what?
Because you did so well.
I don't know.
Did you ever find out?
No. I'm going to ask them.
they never told you?
Yeah, they never told me. They're like, oh, you're being arrogant. I'm like, well, then why did you take the test?
So wait, did you take the class?
No, I think I was a few grades below what my dad was teaching. But
oh,
I saw him grading
really
papers.
Young? Oh, I see.
And I was like, I could do that.
You clearly didn't do well.
You think he was sparing my feelings?
Yeah, I think he was kind of like, we proved our point. Like, you're bad.
Like, oh, he didn't want to like show me how bad I was?
Yeah, yeah. Like, don't worry
about
it. I'm
not
even going to show you.
Well, I thought it was the opposite, obviously, because I was an arrogant kid. Were you arrogant as a kid? I had parts of me that were arrogant for some reason. I don't know why. I didn't deserve to be arrogant.
I feel like I definitely had a time where I was arrogant. Yeah.
You're like, I'm a great kid.
Yeah, it's weird. I feel like I did have a lot of I feel like I had a lot more confidence as a kid than I do now. Or I did. I'm fine now, but I feel like I went through phases older where, and I think it was one of those things where we were talking about how like I thought the world was going to be one way. Like, I thought, like, the world was just kind of waiting for me to, like, take it by storm, you know?
Yeah.
And then when I got in the world and it wasn't like that.
The world's like, we're not even aware that you're
like,
there.
I was very, like, confused. Like, I was like, I don't understand. Like, you guys don't seem to, like, when someone didn't think I was good at something, it, like, amazed me. You know what I mean? Or, like, if a girl didn't like me, like, I have that a little bit now, too. It, like, confuses me.
You're like, you don't like this?
A little bit.
Awesome. Yeah.
In certain situations, I think. Like, if I will hang out, like, I've hung out with women and, like, done shows in front of them and killed, and then they'll kind of not be into me, and I'm like, what do you...
Did you just see that?
Kind of. Like, what are you waiting... Because, you know, it's like, dating apps are always like... You know, every girl, you know, the same thing. Oh, sense of humor.
Sense of humor.
And I want to be like, I've had women kind of like blow me off after seeing me do comedy or being around me. And like when they blow me off, I want to be like, do you realize you were around like one of the funniest people? Like, there's nothing better than this.
It's probably, they probably didn't like you because you're arrogant.
I don't know, don't you want confidence? I think actually right. I've had it where they're kind of like, oh, this guy's too funny.
Yeah, you get that a lot, do you?
You know
what's
so funny? I'm not even kidding. I think I've
I'm just
kidding. I do think sometimes they're kind of like, I want a funny guy, but a funny. They want more like the cheesy funny guy who's like quoting Borat. You know?
Like
they don't want
jokes.
Like real funny.
Yeah.
But that's why you can tell if a smart, like a woman who's like that is a smarter woman. Because I've met women who like when they think I'm funny, they think I'm like fucking like really funny. And like I was dating a girl and I was like, you know, I'd be like, oh, I love this comedian there. You know, like I was dating a girl and she was like, oh, yeah, my favorite, like Norm MacDonald, I love and fucking. You know, and that's like smart. You know what I mean? Like a smart.
Yeah.
Those are like, that's a real answer. Like, Norm MacDonald is like hilarious. Do you think so?
Yes. Wait, so what, back to your point though about they would think you were hilarious.
I think it's like you meet a certain woman and maybe they don't have a good sense of humor and they don't see, you know, but I usually like, what if I'll.
Funny can be piercing and hurtful.
Yeah.
Too.
Let me put it this way. The only serious relationships I've ever been in are with women that thought I was like hilarious. I dated a woman once, and I mean, she fucking thought, I mean, she would laugh all the time.
You know, this podcast is about me, Tom.
Okay, sorry.
Just kidding. I'm joking.
You know what I'm talking about? How it would happen and how women thought I was funny.
Yeah, great. No, I was kidding. Wait, she thought you were really funny? Yeah.
Yeah, like dying laughing. Like, and I would do like dumb jokes and all the time and like. I'm actually kind of dating someone now who I think thinks I'm really funny.
That's good.
Yeah.
Wait, what is your point, though? About the...
Oh, you were saying was I arrogant as a kid, and I said I was, and then I think it carried over a little bit in certain things.
Oh, yeah, to your adulthood. Right, exactly.
In certain things, like saying how, like, if a woman loves me off, I'm, like, confused.
Like, I don't know what went wrong if I'm awesome, because I'm awesome.
Yeah, but it's not.
I'm also
you have that. I'm also very insecure, though, too, at the same time. It's like weird. It's like.
Yeah.
Like overconfident, but also like.
Some insecurities.
A lot of insecurities.
Yeah, I definitely have that, too.
Like, do you like Eminem?
Yeah.
Like, he seems confident, right?
Yeah. But he's always angry, so he must not be.
Well, he has a lot of lines in his songs saying he's not confident, which I always thought was amazing. He has a line in one of his songs. He says, my insecurities could eat me alive. Which I was like, really? You look, but I mean, I guess he's overcompensating. You know what I mean? I think that's why people like him, though. Mm. Do you know what I mean? Because I think he's very honest about, that's why I liked him. Because he was very like upfront about like, about his insecurities. Like he in songs, he'd be like, I'm a loser. Yeah.
Yep.
Which I was always like, wow, like that's amazing that. You know what I mean? Like that you could be like, you could just say, oh, I'm a loser, but come off as like confident about it.
Yeah. You're winning rap battles, but you also think you're a loser. Like it seems, doesn't that seem a little incongruous? I guess not.
Yeah, it does. Right.
I mean, I guess to win a rap battle, you can still have insecurities because a rap battle is more about attacking the other person.
Yeah.
Their flaws. Right. Or it can be. I don't know.
Yeah. I don't think it's like, I wanted to do a skip once, like Christian rap battle, where they're just complimenting each other.
like Kyle Ayers' boast rattle. You know about that?
No, what's that? Did someone already do this idea?
Yeah, do you know Kyle Ayers?
No, who's that?
He's funny. He's a comic. He moved to L.A., but he had this. He started to combat the roast battle.
Boast rattle. Funny.
Where you go back and forth.
But
saying,
it's not rap.
No, yeah, you just say nice things about each other.
Oh, like a... Oh, I see, yeah. You're mine like, was going to
Tom's so cool that a lot of girls like him.
Yeah, and they're like, oh.
Yeah. I'm sure they did it more clever than that example, but that was the basic premise.
No, that sounds about right, though.
Yeah.
No. Why, do you have that? Are you arrogant? Were you arrogant as a kid?
I guess I was maybe academically a little bit for...
But did you... was it real?
I might have been a little bit for that, but not for
us.
Why,
were you smart in school? Did you do well in school?
Yeah, I did well. Yep.
Did you?
Mm-hmm.
I did well in school, too.
You're a smart motherfucker. A lot of comics tend to do well in school, I would think, right? Because you have to be kind of like to think through ideas pretty well to be able to comment on society and your life in society, right?
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah.
I did up
and down.
You
can't be dumb and be a good comic. I'm not saying I'm a good comic,
but... you can be.
You think there's dumb, good comics?
Maybe not. I'm trying to think.
I think to be funny, you have to have an ability to analyze the world around you.
Yeah.
In a way that isn't readily apparent. Because that's what makes it funny.
I mean,
you laugh at things.
I mean, one good example is Dimitri Martin. Like, he's pretty dumb. Yeah.
He's dumb?
I think I'm just kidding.
Yeah, he is.
Really isn't
smart.
He like a genius?
I don't know. I was trying to figure out.
He's like known to be a genius.
Yeah.
Like in intellect, I mean.
Is he?
Yeah, he's like, I think he got like a perfect SAT score. I think he went to like, he has like a genius IQ.
Is he in like Mensa?
I don't know, but that was always his thing. Like it was always like, oh, he's so smart. Like, I mean, he's funny too. I always thought he was funny, but he was also kind of known as like the super smart comedian. You know, like he was so smart that it was kind of his shtick.
Yeah, with all the pie charts.
Yeah,
his clever pie charts, and I'm not being facetious. They are very clever pie charts or like graphics.
Yeah,
yeah, simple with the easel. He pulled a piece of paper over. Yeah, it's great. His specials are great to watch. Like smoke a little bowl. Have a couple drinks, sit back. You know, you feel like you're not being like beaten over the head with a Larry the Cable Guy joke. Not to disrespect him, but like, yeah, it's like a cerebral watch.
Yeah. I feel like a lot of people like kind of crap on him a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like I've heard people kind of be like, oh, he's not that good.
He's like nerdy or something. Is
I don't know what
critique?
It is. I think like people think he comes off like arrogant or something.
Yeah. Does he? I don't know. Does he think he comes off arrogant?
I don't know. I mean, I always thought like it's just all jokes. Like they're all just fast jokes.
I'm not going to critique that.
I mean, that he's just they're all they're fast.
Yeah.
I think he's always writing them too. I've seen him do like sets where it's just like he has so many. They're all like new jokes, you know.
Yeah, he's a thinker and a writer.
Yeah, he's definitely a thinker. He's got that mind.
He's got that
mind where you think.
What a crazy idea. So you just use your brain to think. Can you think of a time in your life when you've been arrogant about X or Y and then...
Is this all an interview about me being arrogant?
Yeah.
Is this an intervention?
Dude, your friends paid me $100 to
tell you how arrogant you are.
They're waiting just outside the door. Yeah. Can you think of a time in your life when you've been arrogant and then had reality or life or a person bring you back down to earth?
Yeah, like my entire life, adult life.
All of this is that.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of a specific example, but I can't remember. I feel like I feel like it happens a lot whenever you get like overconfident. Like, I think it happens a lot in comedy where you start thinking you're really great. And then you do a show and you just bomb. Like, I feel like that happened a lot in comedy. Like, I'd be like, oh yeah, I'm so great. I'm such like a, I can do no wrong. And then fucking like, I'll do a show and just everyone hates you. Oh, like I did one. And it's weird when it happens on the same night, you know? I did a show at like Gotham years ago. And it was like, I think it was co-headlining with
Gotham
someone.
Gotham Comedy Club in Chelsea?
Yeah. And it was like a good show. And then I had to do stand-up New York. I was hosting like right after that.
Yeah.
And I went up and they fucking hated me.
Yeah.
Like, not even like, oh, I didn't do. I literally like got into a fight with someone in the crowd. So like I was the host. And so I just stopped saying jokes. I just would go up and say the name of the next person. I wouldn't do it because I'd be like, they hated me so much. And yeah. It was weird because it was like the same stuff.
Same stuff, different response.
On the same, like literally like an hour later. Like it was just kind
of
like.
That's one of the most insane things about stand up. You can kill, go to literally like one door down to a different yeah. room of people. And they're like, no, we don't like that.
Or you can be in the same room later that night
yep.
with different crowd and they yep. just hate you. Yeah, it's such a weird. So that's what's odd about stand-up. It always keeps you on your toes. Like, I feel like stand-up is just a constant up and down of, oh, man, I'm great. Oh, wait, I'm terrible. You know?
Right.
That's probably why I like it, because that's kind of how I am. Oh, I'm great. Oh, I suck.
You like the
I don't like
dose
that,
of reality but... infused into your head?
Do you even like stand-up?
I love it.
Oh, you do?
It's super difficult, but yeah.
Yeah.
I love it when it's going well. I love the whole thing. Yeah. I love the moment when
do you get nervous?
Yeah.
You do?
Yeah.
Really nervous?
I
get yes, really nervous.
I mean, manageably so now because I've been doing it for so long, but like especially like if it's like Greenwich Village Comedy Club and it's a 10 o'clock show and the comic on stage is killing and is like more advanced than me. In my head, I think they're more advanced than me. And they're having a great set. And I look around, it's like a bunch of dates and they're dressed up and they have yeah. their like nice purse and they're having a nice time on Saturday night. And I'm like, Danny, you're going to go up there and no one's going to laugh at any of your jokes and they're going to think you're terrible.
Yeah. It's a real head game.
And then I get up there and I'm like, after a minute, it's like completely fine. Usually it's like, yeah. Oh, okay. But that's also
well,
helpful.
Sometimes it's not after a minute.
Yeah, true. That's true. But yeah, but you'd have to like kind of gird yourself emotionally and mentally before
yeah.
you go on stage.
You really have to like, you can really, it's a really... One thing I'll say about you can easily psych yourself out. You know what I mean? I've yeah. psyched myself out of having good sets so many times.
100%.
Where I've like gotten so attached to like, I have to do well. And then it's always the ones when I'm like, I don't give a shit that it's like, oh my God, this guy's amazing.
They can read your energy. They kind of mirror your energy. Someone said yeah. that Howard Stern recently. I was like, that's a good way to put it. They kind of, whatever you put out there, they kind of mirror that.
Yeah, like if you're uncomfortable and...
Oh, wait, can I tell you a story?
No.
Real quick, really, sure, the earlier yeah. thing about... It's a great conversation, by the way.
Yeah.
Being arrogant. I don't know that I was arrogant, but the first time I ever kissed a girl, I was in Tampa, and I was probably like 13 or 14, and like we were at this like church event, and then she and I like snuck off into the woods or something, and then we like... No, actually, sorry, that was a different time. We went back to this girl's place... I went back to her place, quote unquote. We were both like,
wow,
13.
You really got a lot around.
I know. I could, you know why? Because her mom wanted me to wash her car. So,
oh, really?
Yeah. So her mom's like,
I miss those days. Oh, go ahead.
Yeah. So I was going to, the purpose of me going back to this girl's house was to wash her mom's car, which I did. But then, like, what? So then my dad came over to pick me up. And then she and I were like into each other and we were in her bedroom. And I was like, I guess I better go. And then she just kind of like, it was like, okay. And then she just kind of looked down and I kind of looked down and I was like, Danny, just kiss her. So then I kissed her.
Did you know her well?
She was like a church friend, I guess.
Okay.
I think I said, can I kiss you or something? I don't know. It was just a weird moment in her bedroom with us both looking at the ground. But then I did summon up the nerve to kiss her and I was like, good job, Danny. And then I called her on the phone next day.
This was last summer?
Yeah. I was 44. So then I called her on the phone next day. And we were talking and she goes, hey, I just have to ask you a question. I go, yeah. She goes, do you have big teeth? And I was like, what? She's like, well, I'm like, no. I'm like, I don't think so. She goes, I have bite marks on my lip. And I was like, sorry.
Oh my God. Really?
Do you have big teeth? Not the best review for your first ever makeout.
Oh, had you felt about arrogant that. Before that?
Yeah, just like, good job, dude. You made out with a chick. You washed your mom's car. You made out with her.
I've had that. I feel like it's. I've had a lot of come downs with women where I'll be like, oh, rat, I'm such a stud. Oh, this is a big, like, where, like, it's happened to me a few times where, like, I used to have a joke about it where you hook up with a really hot chick and you think you're a stud and then you find out she's just, like, slutty. Then you find out that she just bangs everybody. Like, you'll find out other dudes she slept with and you're like, oh. So you're just a bad person?
Oh my God.
You just hate your
misogynistic
dad?
Cut.
No, I don't. Not misogyny. Like, oh, you just like hate your dad. It's not that I was a stud. Like, it's like kind of like you hook up with a girl. I had it once where I was like hooking up with this girl and she was really hot. And then I saw other dudes she had hooked up with and it wasn't. And it was like kind of a lot. And I was like, oh, I guess you just kind of do that a lot.
Right,
it wasn't me.
Yeah, you're not such the Casanova.
I used to have that a lot too. I'd hook up with a chick and like they'd be really into me, and I was like, man, you kind of get in this weird. I mean, I did. It was a more young thing. Like, man, I must be so great.
Yeah,
like, but then the thing is, and then you realize later, some women, not just women, but other dudes do it. But like in my experience, like women will do that. That's like a thing some women will do. It's almost like an emotional problem. Like, it's called love bombing. Do you know what that is?
I don't think so.
It's not just women who do it. Men do it too. It's a thing where like you'll meet someone, they come on really strong and they like really like are like complimentary and like saying all these things about how great you are. And you know what I mean? It's kind of a way of like getting you in. And then I've had that a few times, and then like they'll be like, I'll be like, wow, this girl's really into me. I am great. And then they just kind of leave. And you're like, and then it's really bad because you're like, wait a minute. Like, I thought I was really great, you know?
What makes them change their mind?
I think it's an intimacy thing. I think it's kind of like,
They want you to like them.
And then once you do, they're like, oh, I don't like this.
I'm like that.
Next person.
Yeah.
I'm like that too a little bit, but I don't love bomb people. I don't go,
yeah,
you're the greatest.
Yeah, intentionally. Yeah.
I'm very like, in fact, it's kind of a thing. Like, I'm usually pretty like, you know, aloof at the beginning.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not one of those guys. I've never been like, come on, will you be my girlfriend? Like, never once has that.
Yeah, that's not your vibe.
Like, they've asked me almost every time.
Yeah. Like, and then you'll be into it and then they'll pull back.
Well, Sometimes, yeah.
Yeah.
Or I'll get like freaked out or.
I mean, it's hard, man. Love is a battlefield.
It is. And I understand it now. Yeah, totally.
It really is.
Yeah. And then I get.
No truer words have ever been spoken than love is a battlefield. Love is fucking war. It really is.
I no longer look at it as like, I want love. Oh, you know, like when you're younger. I think when I was younger, I was like, I met this girl, like, you know, she could be the one, you know, like, and I was excited about it. Now, like, if I meet a girl and I feel like there's something there, I almost get like bummed out. Like, I'm like, I met this girl. Yeah, I think she might be the one. Fuck. Yeah, no, I could see myself spending the rest of my life with her. Yeah, it fucking blows. You know what I mean? Because
do you think that it blows?
Because it's just I foresee a lot of like problems. There's like it's not easy. You know what I mean? Like being single is like easy.
It's not riding off into the sunset. It's like riding down a road that's
desert
highway that's
going
to have a lot
of
fucking
cactus. I've been on the road a few times and it doesn't like end well.
Yeah. Hopefully this won't be the one, so I don't have to deal with
decades of
problems.
Yeah, I have a lot of like emotional problems. I have intimacy issues.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You think it's justifiable? You think not justifiable? Do you think it's something you can work on and eliminate, or do you think that's just part of human nature?
I think it goes back. I mean, I don't want to get into it, but like I think it just there.
I want you to cry.
I think it goes back
from.
It's clearly some like younger thing. Like it's not like oh, this woman did this and that ruined. Like some women did do things that like were shitty, but the problems I have, they stem from like, you know, young things, like things that I think that's usually what these problems originate is, like when you're a kid.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
Yeah,
I think I was very standoffish as a kid. I was like a very like confident, I liked being alone kind of kid. Like I had friends, but I was very like when I was young and boys started getting into like girls, I was very like, I'm too cool for that shit. You know what I mean? Like I was always the kind of guy of like, I don't want to show a chick I like her.
Why did you think that then? Why did you feel that way then?
It felt like when I would see boys who were getting really like into girls and going after it, it just seemed like lame to me. You know what I mean? It looked like lame. Like, oh, will you go out with me? You know, it's like, what?
Oh, like weak to be vulnerable in that yeah, way? Yeah. Is that what
I
that
don't
means?
Know. Like, I think, and then what happened was at a certain age, girls started like coming after me when I was like in like seventh grade. Like a lot of girls would like come after, like call me and like, and I remember, and I think that was my first like, oh, this is how it works. Like, you just don't care. And then they.
Ah, that approach can yield dividends and.
Yeah, yeah. And I think I really didn't care. I think that's why. But like, I went to this school.
You're like, I don't care. And they still like me. Sick.
Like, I used to, like, I remember this girl, like, once called, we had dances, this girl called me, like, before the dance, like, the week before, and, like, asked if she could, like, dance the last dance with me at the dance.
That's nice.
That's weird. I mean, like.
No, that's amazing.
And then I
then
was
you
at
get,
the
then you get to the make out and be with her at the end of the night. That's perfect.
Well, and then, like, this other girl at the dance was like, hey, will you dance with me this dance? And I go, sorry, like, someone called ahead.
Did you literally say call
ahead? I didn't say that, but I mean, literally, that was what I had to be like, no, she like made a reservation.
Sorry. This dick's off the market on Saturday at the fucking.
So I think that added to. So isn't any wonder that now I'm like, how could anyone not like me?
How could anyone not like me? I had bitches on my jock in high school. What's up?
Yeah, so
that was a phrase.
I think that stuff affects you when your experience young with girls is going to affect how
100%.
Right?
Yeah. Also, my mom was kind of she's loving, but she's also not like what's the word when you're like
nurturing?
She's nurturing, but she's not like effervescent, like overflowing. I'm not thinking of the right word, but like she's not like, oh my god, hugs for everybody.
Yeah, yeah.
I love you so much, you guys. You guys are so awesome. I bought you 17 Valentine's Day presents. Like she did get us Valentine's Day presents, but she was just more of like a calm, just yeah, not like
not very affectionate.
Effusive. That's the word.
Okay.
She's not effusive with her affection.
Okay.
And I'm not criticizing her. I'm like that too. So then when I would the girls that I would like would oftentimes
right, be the ones that wouldn't really
yeah,
show you any
like,
interest.
I would always say that in college. I'm like, if you're a girl and you want to get my attention, blow me off the first time I talk to you. And
yeah,
I'm hooked
yeah,
for life. I love it. I still love it. If a girl blows yeah, me off a little bit and then I have to like work to get her attention and affection, that I'm way more attracted to her than
really
the girl that yeah, asked me for the last dance at the ball or the prom or whatever.
Yeah, I wasn't even into that girl. I was into another girl who actually yeah, was kind of blowing me off. Like there was one.
It's hot to be blown off. It's
well,
a hot move.
I mean, I think it kind of like makes you think. Oh, I mean, it's like anything. Like it, when you, with guy, like because a lot of the women that are into me are ones that I kind of blow off, and they're really in. And it's like I think they're like, oh, he must be so. I mean, I think a lot of it just comes down to self-esteem. So like. I think I was worse about that younger. Like, if a woman like was treating me shitty, I was like, I don't know. I mean, it's weird. Like, I don't know. I have a lot of trust issues and all that with all that stuff and intimacy problems.
Do you go to a therapist?
I do. Yeah.
Are you guys working on that stuff?
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah.
What do you think is?
I also don't drink now. I think that helps a lot.
Definitely. Who is the person that you want to be in a few years when it comes to dating? Like, do you see like a different version of yourself that will be a better dater?
I don't know. Dater? Like, actually, I've been dating. I've been single for like 6 years, and I've like really settled into it. Like in the last few, where I kind of don't hate it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like right, because I'm older now and I'm less like. Oh my God, I have to find that. You know what I mean? Like, I got to a point where I was like, I don't know. Like, maybe it's fine. Maybe.
There's no one right lifestyle.
Right. I don't know. Like, everyone turns
even though I don't
it
necessarily.
Into,
yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
Sorry. There's no one right way to be, even though I still, to this day, put pressure on myself. I'm like, Danny, you should get married, have a couple kids. Like, I still have that. I still put that pressure on myself, even though I say in conversation, there's no one right way.
Yeah. I think I'm definitely like getting older and like I think I'm getting tired of dating and cuz I've been in like long-term relationships, but not many, and like not for a lot of my, like I've been single a lot, and I think I got better at being single and like, you know, dealing with women, and I think I kind of had a lot of like, I think when I was young I had an idea of myself older, like, oh, I want to like sleep with like hot chicks.
Just be this baller.
Well, I was very like young. People were like, who do you want to like marry? Like, who are you really, who do you like? Or like celebrities? And I was like, oh, Christie Brinkley. Like, I would always kind of have this attitude of like, oh, yeah, I'm going to marry like the hottest chick in the world.
Yeah. Back to the arrogance. Or the, not even, maybe delusion, right? Of like the things that Hollywood has shown me.
Maybe I just thought I was like, cool. Like, I could do it.
Yeah.
Like,
I don't know, maybe Christie Brinkley would get along with you.
Probably now. I probably could get her now.
Why don't you look her up?
But I just like, I didn't think I was really going to like, I met her once actually.
Really?
Yeah. When I was like 10 or 11. And around this
was
time.
The sexual tension palpable?
Yeah, it was.
When you were 10?
It sure was. She blew me right there. I met her at the Oscars.
Isn't
that a funny story? Yeah, yeah.
Tell that story.
I love dropping that on like,
yeah,
on dates.
That's a good story. Now. No, it's a great story.
No, I don't. I'm not gonna tell. But like,
you did a dance number.
Yeah. But like, that's a good story to drop on a first date.
Did you? Yeah,
it is. It's a good. Right? Like, what?
You were at the Oscars?
Yeah.
You met Christie Brinkley. How old were you when you met her? 10.
10. 11. Yeah.
Like backstage at the Oscars?
No, like in the lobby. And like, I thought she was really hot at the time. You know, obviously, yeah, she was like
the entire planet did.
And
does.
I remember like she was like surrounded by a bunch of kids. I think they were in the dance thing with me. And I pushed my way through and I was like, hey, how you doing? My name's Tom McCaffrey. And I stuck my hand out and she was like, she goes, what's your name? I go, oh, Tom McCaffrey. She's like, oh, it's nice to meet you.
Good for you, dude. That's awesome.
I know. It's funny. I was like the most aggressive I've ever been approaching a woman has been Christie Brinkley.
It makes sense.
Yeah.
I bet she appreciated that fact that you did that.
She was really nice. I mean, it was just a bunch of kids annoying
sweet
her.
Kid. Oh, yeah. Were other kids trying to talk to her, too?
I think they were talking to her, and I like pushed my... I think I did it like in a funny way. Like, hey, how are you? Yeah, I'm Tom McCaffrey.
She's like, oh, look, you're the horniest 10-year-old of the bunch.
Or maybe like, oh, he's so like precocious. Who knows? I don't know. I mean,
that's cool that you did that and remember it too. You
know? Oh yeah, I remember it really clearly. Like I remember being in
who
the
was she wearing?
I don't know, but I do remember seeing pictures of her like the next day in the paper and like being like, oh yeah. I mean, I guess
I want to see those pictures. Wait, what time is it? I just want to be respectful to my neighbor because I feel like we should close at 11. It's 11.
All right, cool.
Wait, can I give you one small bummer real quick, Tom?
Sure.
Okay. So Tom and I, last time he was on, we did a series of small bummers. And I've been trying to collect bummers. So my friend, I don't know if I should say her name. I guess so. Yeah, well, I won't say her name. My friend from Atlanta texted me a couple. She goes, ooh, I have another one. When you get into bed and you are just about to fall asleep and you are all super comfy and then realize you have to pee. Motherfucker, I hate that. That is a good one. That's a small bummer.
Yeah, that's
you know,
I have that all the time.
You're fucking cozed up under the covers. Fuck.
Yeah.
And then she goes, that one doesn't even make sense. I don't know what that was. Not her.
And then
something
you just
else. Some other note I wrote. I just think like, all right, whatever. Oh, I just think things like, oh, well, a fly is in my wine again. I guess that means I have to drink it this time. I guess a small bummer would be that a fly gets into your wine.
Damn. Yeah.
That sucks. It's a small bummer.
Yeah, it's a small one. Yeah.
And then she goes, I have a small bummer. When you get out of the shower and you forgot to bring in the towel beforehand, naked and wet. Damn it. I do this all the time. Pisses me off.
Yeah.
Then I was like, I mean, she's pretty hot, the girl that said that to me. And I was like, were you just trying to get me to think about you being naked and wet?
Yeah.
She's like, she goes, after I hit send on that, I thought about that.
Yeah, that's a bummer when you get out and there's no towel and you're like, oh, fuck.
Yeah, fuck. It's like Planes, Trains, and Automobiles when it's just the washcloth.
Yeah, one is like you go to, you want to watch something, and you know, if you live with someone or and you go to watch it and they're already watching something, you can't watch it.
Even if you're sharing a TV with your roommate, you're saying?
Yeah.
Or your wife or spouse or whatever.
Yeah, your roommate.
You're excited to watch it, and they're like, I'm already watching this.
Yeah.
Like, that sucks.
I feel like it used to happen younger. Definitely younger, when you know you only had like one TV or whatever, and then you know your parents would be dominating the TV, you know.
Yeah, you wanted to watch Highway to Heaven, and they were watching.
Yeah, they were watching Family Ties, or I don't know, like what the, you know, they would watch. You know, there were shows on every night that they would watch.
What did they watch?
Just Hill garbage. Street Blues.
Oh, see, my parents would never watch that. That was not really allowed in the Palmer household. It's vulgar, dude. They show guys' butts. They show girls' butts.
Hill Street Blues. No, you're thinking of NYPD.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Yeah, yeah. I was like, Hill Street Blues was the 80s.
Oh, yeah, yeah. We weren't allowed to watch that either, though.
Like, they just show guys' butts. I was like, Hill Street Blues. It was like a cop show, like a really good cop show.
Yeah.
In the 80s.
It was. It's a truly a good show, right? Does it hold up today?
Yeah, I've seen it a little bit. It holds up more than Highway to Heaven. I mean, Highway to Heaven is just like...
Highway to Heaven's not winning any awards.
I must watch it because it's bad.
I want to watch one now. My mom loved it, dude. She loved it.
I mean, it is a very, like...
It had its moments. I enjoyed some of it, yeah.
Well, and you know what's so funny?
It was uplifting.
Yeah, and I'll watch it. I've, like, watched it in the last, like, week, and I've, like, cried at it.
You cried at Highway to Heaven?
Yeah, there was one really sad one.
I don't think you have any barriers to intimacy anymore if you're revealing that to me.
Yeah, no. No, oddly, I do, like, cry. I cry at things.
Me too.
Yeah, do you?
Yeah. I watched Kim Kardashian's interview on Letterman. I teared up several times. She cried.
Because she was so awful?
No, because she was great. I was, like, I was not expecting...
You were crying at her interview? What did she do?
I wasn't crying, but I got a little choked up a couple times.
Why? What did she do?
She was recounting awful things. And the work that she does to release prisoners is touching and heartwarming.
I don't think I would ever cry at anything she said.
I mean, you should watch the interview, man.
I'll tell you real quick.
I think differently of her now after that. Watch it. Go ahead.
Really?
Yeah, I do.
You think she has a small ass now?
She's doing better work than you and I have ever done combined.
She wants to be a lawyer
to help people get out of prison that shouldn't be there. She's going to take the baby bar. You know about the baby bar?
Is that a thing?
Yeah, you can. She goes to an office 20 hours a week.
But she has to take the bar eventually.
Baby bar, she said.
I don't think that's a thing.
It's a thing. It's in 4 states, California and 3 others. Am I explaining the law to you, Mr. Attorney? Jesus
Christ,
Tom.
I'm like the baby. Like, I feel
your
like I would have heard about it. I think you're wrong.
No, watch it. All right, go ahead. Tell
really? A law school no one wants? My bar prep no one wants said, hey, there's one that's easier you can take?
You don't become an attorney, but you can act. You can do legal acts. She's getting people out of prison. I wouldn't that.
She is?
Yeah.
Just black guy. She wants to fuck.
That is. I'm deleting that. That was Tom McCaffrey. Danny Palmer.
No,
doesn't
she fuck a lot of black dudes? Is that racist?
She's married to Kanye West.
Right, right. But I mean...
Yeah, I would say that's racist.
I was kidding.
I would think we should
it's
delete
not.
That.
She bangs a lot of like black. I mean, like, you know, you can't say anything anymore. You know what? All right, this is the thing I'll say. I was watching.
We got to wrap this up. My neighbor's going to get mad at me.
I'll wrap it up. I was rewatching. You know what does hold up and is actually better is if you watch old SNLs.
Yeah.
I was watching these 1990 episodes of SNL, and they're like they're so much better than SNL is now. And they make jokes that you're like, there's no, like, you're like, oh, you can't make jokes anymore. They have they had a skit where Fred Savage, like, finds his dad's gun when they go out and is, like, playing with it. That was, like, a skit on SNL.
Jesus.
And then they have all these skits in 1990 shitting on Trump.
Yeah.
In 1990.
That's crazy.
This one episode, they had 3 Trump jokes.
I don't doubt
it. One of the skits was about... I'll tell it real quick. They're launching a rocket, and they're like, you know, Dana Carvey and Kevin Nealon like are doing the countdown, and then whenever they look out at the rocket, they show the top, the bottom of the rocket, and then they show like they're like, hey, we can't stop the launch. There's someone under the rocket it'll kill them if we launch, and it'll be like, at one point they're like, wait, stop, Hitler is under the rocket. We can't kill him. They're like, I kind of want to kill him. And then they're like, oh, he's holding the Mona Lisa. Forget it. We can't kill him. And then they get Hitler out of there. And then at the end, they go, wait, someone's out there. It's Donald Trump. And then they like go and they hit the button to launch the rocket to kill him. That's the joke. So in 1990, they're making a joke where they don't kill Hitler and they kill Donald Trump. Isn't that insane?
Dude, how fucking prescient that is.
That's how terrible he was then. You know what I mean?
Right. That was even before Home Alone 2.
I mean, that's it blew my mind. All right, so anyway, yeah,
that's crazy.
So watch 1990 SNL.
Yeah, thanks for being on the pod, Tom. Thanks for sharing, man, all this stuff about these shows.
I'm sure, this was really boring.
No, I liked it a lot actually, because you have a very interesting take on cultural TV and movie culture, and you have watched more of it than I have. So to hear your take on it is hilarious, because you're hilarious. So I appreciate you doing it. Thanks, pal. Good luck in your inability to form an intimate relationship with a woman, which will lead to your untimely
and
certain death.
Thank you, coming from the guy who's the exact same way.
Hey, I'm doing fine. All right, thanks for listening to Space. What, I mean, the Danny Palmer Show.
Good.
Whoa. Oh, what's your handles, Tom McCaffrey?
So at Tom McCaffrey and at Tom McCaffrey 722 on Instagram. And
follow Tom and buy his stand-up special, New York Funny.
Yeah, New York Funny and Lou Don Phillips. Adventures in Comedy, my movie.
It's all very high quality, funny shit. You are pretty funny, and you're arrogant, and girls don't like you. Thanks for listening. Just kidding.
They're jealous.
Yeah, they're jealous of my coolness, Danny. All right, bye, guys. Happy Thanksgiving and stuff. I don't know when this is coming out. Who cares? All right, just end it, Danny. Just hit the stop. Just hit stop.